Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon.
Right. I'm listening with some attention. One of the things that I want to touch on quickly is that the tonight meeting is going to be explaining, because the persons are asking for answers. The opposition has put a whole set of stuff over there, and the persons are asking for answers. And in the tonight's meeting, Mayor, the people need answers.
Is it now, the
there's
LP
a
meeting?
Whole set of, as a political Santa Claus behavior, giving out. The million-dollar question has got to be answered. When you give out all of these things, how are you going to fund it?
That's true. That's true. But I'll tell you what the problem... Can I suggest something to you, though? Having established that the situation is so tight that you can't, you're boxed in, we then wait to hear what the Democratic Labour Party is going to put on the table. Because so far, the focus is basically a one-sided focus. So we really are waiting for that moment when we have both of these manifestos before us and we can analyze what both of them are promising within the confines of the economic situation today.
A couple of words just said there's something that just came out in the news that struck. Ms. Marley is saying that it's going to take time. So on the one hand, you're going to be giving, and then she stated and within this amount of months, whatever, but the contradiction has just arisen where it's going to take time. Time could be next 5 years.
But David, I had heard the supporters and some of the persons from the Democratic Labour Party saying they have the sustainable recovery plan on the table. That's one of the plans. I, for one, I don't necessarily want to hear plans from the Democratic Labour Party. I don't. I want some explanations because there have been lots of things that have been happening over the years I don't understand. Now, they could be right, they could be wrong, but what I want is explanations. To come and say and to have a manifesto and to come in last election and say, we will not do this, we will not do that, and go and do the opposite, I think that they really owe the public more of an explanation than a plan of what they're planning to do.
I think the problem is a bit more wrapped up in the fact that for 10 years you have been in leadership, and therefore anything that you promise now must be against the backdrop of the difficulties you face in implementation. And how can we buy into any promise that you make to us that you will do this or you will do that? So that's why I say to you, it's right now, between the two of them, the two parties, only one is under scrutiny. But the fairness of our system will demand that we look at the proposals from both of them. And I do not understand. I mean, I can understand how people will say, well, and rightly so, they say, look, you know, how workable is this? These ideas that you have, can they really work in the current environment? Fine. But by Thursday, Friday, yes, we will also be in a position
Clearly, the government is also at another disadvantage, and that's because when they try to defend, they go back to Greenland, they go back to the prison, and I think that people have already passed their judgment on that, and they want to move along. So it's very hard to attack the opposition because you're not in power, and I find that that is a disadvantage to the government as well.
One of the things I want to think, I'm just throwing it out. Two things, actually. The first one is, the government has held back the release of the IMF report, Article 4 report, which really would report on what the IMF is thinking about the economy. However, the more I listen to the Democratic Labour Party, the more I strongly feel that they allowed the governor to actually give his first quarter report because it would help their strategy of saying, but look, you see how bad things are. Whatever the BLP says, it can't work because things are bad.
Right.
Okay?
And therefore, to that extent, you say they should be credited for having given...
No. I'm just saying that this is something... I'm just putting it out there, right? Because that's one of the things that keeps occurring to me when I hear people like the president call talking about giveaways. Because the narrative is that it is a giveaway as against of how things can be done differently to work. Okay.
Or to stimulate.
Mm-hmm. That's the first thing. The second thing, and this is something that I just heard in the news with Reverend Guy Hewitt, and he was making the point that Reverend Rogers, should not be judged. No, Reverend Rogers is the Anglican Church, and the election is on tomorrow again. Mm-hmm. And Reverend Rogers is the nephew of the bishop, the outgoing bishop, and the retiring bishop, sorry. And he said, why is a man judged on his lineage? Right? And yet, I'm here.
No, but you gotta make a distinction between that the church and the state.
What I find amazing is that one argument.
The argument
for Mr. Fonda's church is that the bloodline, Molly's bloodline, is a problem.
Well,
it's not a problem.
But my question.
Temporal matters, but.
But I don't know to what extent. I still am unable.
Gauge why I brought both of these impact that has. I really don't think it has much impact.
I don't know.
Personally.
It demonstrates the lack of logic in the Prime Minister's argument. And I think that one of his own can identify it. And I think that, you know, it says that to everyone.
And on this case, this is where I go along with Corey when Corey told me something earlier on. Don't discount that in the Barbadian context.
Precisely.
Do not. This thing about class structure and where you went to school, and it is embedded in the psyche of the community, all right? It's not something to be discounted.
But you know the thing about that, about Dennis? If you are saying that a person is from the lower echelon or the upper echelon of society, in the context of Barbados, which one is considered more attractive?
But for David, and this is the strange thing, this is where color begins to play a factor. Let me say this to you. There are people who call people grassroots politicians, who really are middle-class politicians, you know. But the impression they give people is that they're grassroots.
Yeah, but let me,
in the case of the leader of the opposition, I think she comes across as a grassroots person because she mixes with that class. Yeah. And this is why the class card is being played, because she does not come across to the average people in her thing that she is, you know, upper class and looking down the nose at them.
Let's strip this thing down even further. We are in a situation now where both the Prime Minister and the Minister of Finance can genuinely lay claim to working class origins. And they, both of them can say, look, we've done well, we have moved through. And I think that they have both been given an opportunity to serve and then been re-elected without reference to the fact that, you know, this is a negative. So I think that the class card, in a sense, it has worked for them because they have both been of working class origins, and they've demonstrated that Barbadians are willing to allow someone from that class of society to serve at the highest level. And not only that, but to give them a chance after. And in 2013, we saw that. But then those same people now have to ask themselves, are they really better off? Has that worked for the vast majority of people in Barbados, where they have seen, you know, the country being led in economic terms by two individuals that have a similar class origin to them? But can they say that they are better off? That was the case.
Yeah, but even if they're not better off, they may buy into the whole concept that these people have done their very best. First of all, the government asserts time and time again, it has not laid off people when it could have. When many other people, when people were saying, well, they should have
cut off more.
You recognize they should have laid off more.
Okay.
All right, more public servants in particular. They say, look, we have stuck here by your side all this time in all these difficult circumstances, and people still work, people still shop, people still get on with their lives. Mm-hmm. And there are some people who will be captured and captivated by that particular argument because they're going to measure it by what their lives are, you know?
I think it goes deeper too, because I think what we do is we look at some people who vote with their head and some who vote with their heart. When you look at how the candidates line up, I do not think when they go into their constituencies that people measure them based on their performance as ministers. I think they judge them based on the interaction with the constituency. Okay. I remember the discussion, Peter had a discussion with the person like Clay Maskell. He was seen as doing so well in the ministry, and he failed to understand the ministry does not vote for him. It is the people in the constituency. And I think I heard somebody in the engine room in the Democratic Labour Party, they put it like this. I think it's brilliant. They say, you know what? The DLP speaks national. We count to 16. Pick saints from nonsense.
let me say this, huh? When we talk about our expenses and how we go about them, I remember Peter on more than one occasion asking, do we still need messenger drivers? clerk typists. Do we still need a government house and an Alara court?
Yeah, but
it's a legacy from the colonial masters. Can we upkeep those two old buildings?
Yeah, but the whole idea of the governor generalship is something that I think will be part of the questions we'll be asking going forward.
If it's not governor general, it would be a president, and
can we still have them in that big house by themselves and all their grounds?
You need to have two people established in the same way, in that way. I mean, it's not necessarily a conversation you need to have. You can have a president that operates out of their own premises, you know.
Yeah. Pay them an allowance or something.
Exactly.
So indeed, what you can have is a situation today in the way that the government's buildings are kept. You could find yourself living in better conditions in your own house than when you go to live in a government.
And here's the other thing. How many ministries do we need?
Yeah. Again, that's something which I think there's a conversation that we need to have about. Yeah. I would like them to be limited constitutionally.
Yeah.
You know, in Cayman Islands, there is a legislative limit on the number of ministers that you can have. That's the kind of thing that I believe we need to move towards. But you see, this is where the solutions Barbados and the UPP may very well be part of a conversation going forward, because I really don't think it's going to be business as usual after the next election.
And that is correct.
And if we start talking
about
change,
that's what I wanted to get.
Right. Important.
That is to me something that I am groping for in all of this, that the change must take place in terms of how you reach out to Barbadians, how you involve people in decision making,
and how you acknowledge when they come up with a good idea, whether or not they belong to your party.
What has been happening in recent times has been very disappointing for some people. That it seems as though once you get power, you hold power in a very narrow way, and the involvement and things like the social partnership, and how are we seeing that, for instance, in this BLP 2018 manifesto? What element of that is there? The outreach? I saw some elements, people's assemblies, or something like that. And what will we get from the Dems when they
the
come?
Initiatives, and then the initiatives, people's initiatives, the facility for people's initiatives.
You know, those trust loans and that sort of stuff.
Henry Ford proposals, the same kind of thing that's coming back again. Yeah. You know,
and the introduction of referenda.
Yeah.
Yes, the referenda is really an important one. And and this is where the sensitive issue of same-sex marriage and all of that, which...
Marijuana.
Yes.
Well, looking at the time, I'd like to make my closing comments here, because I know how these shows go. I'm here following a discussion here on social media and the whole idea of a program like Brass Stats. And I just want to flag this. We can't discuss it now. Sure. What impact does a program like Brass Stats have on persons and their decisions that they made? I can tell you for a fact that in 2003, Brass Stats would have influenced my decision, because I was now starting to pay attention to politics in a serious way. When I look at the whole idea of how many MPs feel it necessary to cuss us, the moderators, you know, y'all listen, y'all hear your names on platforms.
I hear my name so much this time around, I thought it was running.
But a program and the survey show, we have the greatest listenership and so on. And then these people that talk about, they don't listen. I don't listen to Brass Stats. I remember Dennis said this and Peter did that. And Sanka, but they don't listen, you know. So my question is just flagging a program like Brass Stats. How much does it influence or not influence person's decision at the end of the day? And that's me. Yeah.
I don't know. I remember trying some time ago to, in terms of polling I was doing in Dominica, trying to understand the extent to which people actually take on a lot of what they hear on the radio. And I feel probably between 20-30% of what they hear on these radio programs, they believe. But it then depends on who is speaking. Because a lot of times the callers, a lot of what they say is dismissed. But I do believe that there's an influence, because it is an effective communication tool. And what I feel could make a difference, a lot of what they say is dismissed. But I do believe that there's an influence, because it is an effective communication tool. And what I feel could make a difference in the dying days of this campaign is if on Tuesday for the People's Parliament, Frando Stewart walked into this room and engaged for 2 hours with the public of Barbados one-on-one. I said things like, look, you know, I'm bringing the party to this stage, but we understand that after the election, you know, I'm looking to retire and somebody else is going to take over. To me, if you were able to do that, that would demonstrate a capacity for change that I believe that Barbadians will be willing to say, look, let's give a listen.
They're free
I think
of
that
us.
Would be more effective than the Sunday meeting where you're going to go and cuss me or somewhere. That to me demonstrates the power of this communication tool, and I've seen it across the Caribbean where leaders have walked in. Gaston Brown has done it. Mm-hmm. Ralph Gonzalez has done it. Skerrit has done it. They sit down and they talk. I see Chavez used to do it, mm-hmm. right? Apparently Putin does a calling program as well in Russia. You know, and engage with people mm-hmm. using this kind of medium where you can call and speak directly to Fidel Castro and you chat about what's going on and so on. This is a part of the challenge that Fernando Stewart has where he doesn't communicate effectively and there is no facility whereby we can reach out and touch him. And my sense is that if you're going to use the calling program as a kickoff, I would say that, you know, that's the thing that he could perhaps consider in the last 2 weeks of the campaign, you know, trying that is something he hasn't tried before.
That would be the earthquake.
Well, well, what do you say?
A political earthquake.
Yeah,
that would be an earthquake. It would be a political earthquake.
Well, I'm not going to even try to add to the whole thing with the radio station. I'm going to look at the media in general because I heard Dr. Espik saying don't buy the Nation newspaper. And I've heard other people on the same platform also saying the same thing. The reality is, as far as I am concerned, that Starcom and the Nation, the group, OCM group, they're the ones who at least give everybody a fair shot. They allow the views to they put the views out there, and you have a choice. You can see what everybody is saying. And to my mind, that is what is important. People must be given an opportunity to hear from all sides that are contending. And that is that's the benefit of this program. That's the benefit of the Nation. And I would suggest to all Barbadians to continue to support both media houses and listen. it's not an ad. But I'm very serious. In terms of information, in terms of education, that is what we do. We do not slant it like other places. We say it like it is. And everybody has a chance to play here. So I think that people just need to keep on listening and reading, and they will get the full view of what is really going on.
Well, I can tell you that one of the real challenges in the next few days is to try to keep the program in a manner that it is not exploited for very narrow partisan purposes. There are a number of people, callers and stuff, who sometimes feel that this is the opportunity to pull a fast one and that sort of thing. And that's not what it is about. It is to give people the opportunity to assess and analyze. And people have been asking me, so how is it that you're not stopping the program this year during the election period? Part of it is that I believe Barbados has become far more mature. And that how do we justify closing off this kind of avenue for discussion when, with the advent of social media, people are on you 24/7. Mm. It does not make sense anymore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is required here is that we have to control the program in a responsible manner so that the issues can be discussed, that there can be some feedback, and that we don't have politicians just throwing stuff at us. We cannot talk back to them. Because part of the problem is that I have discerned a fear of hearing from the people. And there is a core. I've met a core of people who have decided, you know, even when you talk back to us, we're not going to listen to you. Because as far as we are concerned, you have an agenda, and your agenda is against us. And we say to them, no, we want to engage. We want to give you the opportunity. You may not agree with you, but at least you get the opportunity. And there has been a campaign against Voice of Barbados by people in the Democratic Labour Party in particular over the last 5 years. And it has led to situations where even when you invite them to participate, they have treated you with utter disdain and disrespect because they think that you're going to feel it so badly that it's going to hurt you to the core and you're going to go home and cry. That's not going to happen, okay?
Can't sleep.
That's it for today's edition of Down to Brass Tacks, or Brass Tacks Sunday. Thanks to Dennis Johnson and fellow moderators, Corey Lane, Peter Wickham, and Sanka Price. I'm David Ellis.
Along with his boat, blacks marching on DC. 400 years, still not free. Martin paid all.
a man can pay. Still, he's not a holiday. Folks messing with my mind make me a Frankenstein. This woman by my side, she's Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. Can't get my head on right. Problems day and night to calm my nerves. I try and smoke. Doctors give me dope to cope. If it ain't one thing, it's another. Funky two-bit job went on strike. I put up with a lot of crap I don't like. And to add to my woes, this ugly woman named Sadie called and said she's having my baby. Lord have mercy. From my day of birth, I've called hell on earth. A number is all I am. Ain't got no friends, don't give a. If you ain't you gotta put up with a lot of wool. This funky world is cold. I'll flush myself down the door. If it ain't one thing, it's another. If it ain't one thing, it's another. Friends, I wonder if it's okay if I talk to you this evening. A long time ago, my old grandmother, bless her heart, used to sit me on her knee and pull out her good book. And she said, my son, my child, don't you ever get too grown, too famous, too rich, to forget the man upstairs. And she used to turn to Matthew chapter 24. And there the disciples were talking to the master. And they said, Lord, tell us what will be the sign of your coming and the end to all this confusion on earth. And the good Lord said, my children, watch out that nobody deceive you. For in the last days, there'll be a lot of tribulation, wars and famines and earthquakes and different places on the earth, and there'd be no understanding among people. He said, but as you see these things occurring, don't you become too discouraged. Just lift your hands high, because your deliverance is getting near. And he spoke about the proclamation about a coming kingdom or government of God that would eventually take over this earth and rule over the whole earth. And oh, I turn to Daniel chapter 2. And there Daniel describes that this kingdom will not be an earthly kingdom, but it will be ruled by God. And open the book of Revelation, it talks about how there'll be a lamb who is Jesus and his faithful 144,000 who would bring all mankind back to perfection. Some of you out there know exactly what I'm talking about. And Isaiah, a long time ago said, oh, I see old people growing young again. I see lame people running and leaping just like a gazelle. And blind people will see again. And we won't have to worry about our children going outside to play at night. They'll be able to play with us there, other night. And there'll be brotherhood and peace and tranquility on the earth. Oh, it makes me feel good when I read over in Revelation that it says God would wipe out every tear from our eyes. Yeah, that's in Revelation chapter 21. Why don't you pick up the good book and read about it for yourselves? And my friends, I don't know if I'll ever see you again. Life is certainly uncertain these days. I'm sure you'll agree to that. But keep dreaming a big dream. Get down on your knees and ask the big guy in the sky for his spirit to sustain you. And pray for me. I'll be praying for you. One day. Good night.
Here's a notice from the Electoral and Boundaries Commission to all electors. Electors may view the polling station at which they are required to vote in the upcoming general elections by logging on to the Electoral and Boundaries Commission's website, www.electoral.barbados.gov.bb, going to the chat bot, which is on the lower right-hand corner, and typing the question, "Where do I vote?" When prompted, enter your identification number without the dash. Electors may also ask the chatbot questions concerning the do's and don'ts of voting for general elections. Electors may also receive information about the constituency and polling district in which they are registered and about the polling station at which to vote by calling 535-4875 and entering their identification number on the keypad.
Welcome to the 311 Radio Show, a show that comes to you with the compliments of the Barbados Fire Service and Rescue. Remember what we talk about in this program. We talk about fire prevention, the fire service news, the do's and don'ts of fire safety, a memorable fire and accident in Barbados, and sometimes we give you some fire trivia so you can win yourself some great gifts. Last time they were giving away smoke alarms, but today is a special day. I believe today is Mother's Day, and the fire service takes on a different sort of face.